new reports of possible sexual transmission of Zika virus. Today marks exactly 50 years since Dr. Kwame Nkrumah led CPC government was ousted in a coup d'etat in 1966. The February 24 coup was the first of its kind in post-colonial Ghana and was carried out while Dr. Kwame Nkrumah was on a state visit to Hanoi, Vietnam. The National Liberation Council, NLC, took over the administration of the country, truncating the laudable policies initiated by Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. Before the coup, there were an upsurge in assassination attempts on Nkrumah's life. At the time, Nkrumah's overthrow was rationalized as an attempt to bring sanity to the world and an attempt to tighten the screws. In April 1972, Nkrumah died in Bucharest, Romania, where he had gone for medical treatment. Since his death, Africa has had a string of colorless figures as leaders. As we observe the day, Amasewa Bediako looks at the 1966 coup and how far Ghana has come as a nation.
The black man is capable of managing the whole of us. We are going to demonstrate to the world, to the other nations, young as we are, that they prepared to their own foundation. As I said in the assembly just a minute ago, I made it right that we are going to see that we create our own African personality and identity.
This is an often repeated voice clip of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah expressing a dream and confidence in the ability of the black man. But this vision was cut short on the 24th of February 1966 when a joint military and police officers staged a successful coup d'etat under Operation Cold Chop. With a stroke of radio announcement, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah revered for founding the OAU, now AU, and helping usher in an era of independence for Africa after centuries of slavery and colonial rule was sadly no more. His vision to have Africa unite under a federal government was cut short by the coup. The National Liberation Council administered the country from 1966 to 1969 before handing over power to a civilian government. Colonel Emmanuel Kwashi Kotoka, commander of the 2nd Army Brigade at Kumasi, led the staged coup. Other leaders included Major Ifrifa and Inspector General J.W. Harley. The NLC justified their action by citing gross abuse of power, widespread political repression, rapidly deteriorating economy, and rampant corruption by the CPP. They alleged that Nkrumah's aggressive involvement in African politics at the time affected the morale in camp of the security services. The coup plotters claimed that their action was a nationalistic one because it liberated Ghanaians from dictatorship. With military precision, Colonel Kotoka announced that the myth surrounding Nkrumah was broken when the military took over Broadcasting House.
Fellow citizens of Ghana, I have come to inform you that the armed forces, in cooperation with the police, have taken over the government of Ghana. Parliament is hereby dissolved. The TPP has been disbanded, and it will be illegal for anybody to belong to it. Kwame Nkrumah and all his ministers are dismissed from office. The myth surrounding Kwame Nkrumah has been broken today. I appeal to all civil servants to remain at their posts. Please stay by your radios for detailed information later.
But how did Nkrumah, the man whom Ghanaians had faith in and who worked to modernize the country and improve its economy, fall the way he did? A senior research fellow with the Institute of Democratic Governance, IDEC, Kwesi Jonah, helps us to understand preceding events before the coup and the immediate causes.
First of all, the opposition at that time, the United Party, was made up of various political parties that were based either on one region, one religion, or one ethnic group. A Northern People's Party, which was solely based in the northern part of the country. A National Liberation Movement, which was an Ashanti movement. There was a Togoland Congress, TC, which was just based in the present-day Volta region. And there were other minor groups like Gang Shifumo, which was a Gang movement. So, Kwame Nkrumah passed a law banning all of them in 1957. The name of the law is the Avoidance of Discrimination Act. When this law was passed, all these various ethnic and religious parties got together to form the major opposition called the United Party. Now, from Kwame Nkrumah's perspective, even though they had come together to become a United Party, they had been associated with a number of subversive activities. You remember an attempt to kill Kwame Nkrumah in 1961 at Kolongungu. A bomb went off when Kwame Nkrumah was going to receive a bouquet of flowers from a small girl. Apparently, the bomb had been hidden in the flower, and it went off just before Kwame Nkrumah took it. Therefore, when Kwame Nkrumah officially adopted socialism and became very, very intolerant toward the opposition parties, there wasn't too much sympathy for them. So the country became a one-party state unofficially before officially becoming one-party state. In a democracy, you cannot have other people silenced by the crucial declaration of one-party state in 1994. No, you don't have a democracy when there's only one party that will rule forever. Then second reason, at the same time as the law that banned the opposition parties was passed, another law was passed, the Preventive Detention Act. This Preventive Detention Act was a very repressive law. The Preventive Detention Act allowed the government to detain anybody who, in the opinion of the government, was planning subversive activities against it. It is not acceptable. In a democracy, you can't arrest, detain people without going through due process. But this law allowed the president to do that.
Let me also find out some. Could Nkrumah have prevented the coup?
He could have prevented the coup if Nkrumah had not traveled to Hanoi.
However, President of the Young Pioneers Association and Chairman of the CPP, Professor Edmond Dele, debunks allegations that the Preventive Detention Act was a repressive law.
I was the president and founder of the Ghana Young Pioneers. In 1962, in Tamale, we had comrades like Dr. Edward Mama with me, who is now in the political sphere. We were not taught these things. In fact, this was just something that people imagined and created. And of course, don't forget that some of the things that he made had some religious influence. And that was probably one of his problems. Because if you see, 6 years says the political kingdom and all others should be added to it. But people have forgotten that Nkrumah too was a theologian. That's one of the studies. He did theology. And he was also partly a biblical scholar. And what you read influences you. So maybe he took some of these things out and some of the supporters used them. Here was the man that people were making coups on him all the time. And there was chaos in that country. So what could you do? You have to find a way of solving it. We were young, but we knew what happened with people, CPP, and the National Liberation Movement.
That was a piece put together by Amasewa Bediako on 50 years of the February 24 coup d'etat. Tune in at 1 o'clock for the full version. Meanwhile, Dr. Yao Graham of the Third World Network will join a panel of academics to discuss Ghana's Day of Shame, 50 years on pursuing a national development agenda at the Accra International Conference Center today. The other panelists will be Professor Raymond Osei of the University of Cape Coast. The event, which marks the 50th anniversary of the infamous 1966 coup, sponsored by the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, of the United States of America, will be chaired by Kwesi Pratt of the Socialist Forum of Ghana, SFG. It is co-sponsored by the CPP and the SFG and is scheduled to start at 4 p.m.
The meeting between government and the leadership of NAGWAD, Coalition of Concerned Teachers and NAT, over payment of salary arrears has for the second time ended inconclusively. The Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Idrisu, told the media that the meeting has been postponed to today. According to him, some new documents have been presented to the Ministry of Education for validation. Yaya Kwamwa has the details.
The Concerned Teachers Association, NAGRAT, and Ghana National Association of Teachers have threatened to go on strike by the end of this month if government fails to pay their salary arrears. The meeting, which was chaired by the Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Idrisu, was attended by representatives of the Minister of Finance, the GES, the Minister of Education, Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, and the Controller and Accountant General Department. Mr. Idrisu said some progress has been made in the negotiations.
Led by the Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, supported by the Minister of Education and the GES, the Minister of Finance and the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, the Auditor General's Office and the Controller Accountant General's Department are responding to some of the concerns that have been raised by the various teacher groups, including the Ghana National Association of Teachers, the Coalition of Concerned Teachers, the National Association of Graduate Teachers. We will be adjourning proceedings shortly to continue the meeting and to possibly agree on a new process to respond to the issues that have been raised by the concerned teachers and the various teachers groups. It has to do with outstanding arrears, some of which government commits to pay, subject to validation, and will do the validation. There are new processes that our attention have been drawn to that will also be dealt with. We have made an appeal to them not to consummate the threat of a strike action. They are yet to consult with their constituents and report same back to government.
The head of compensation and working conditions of the Ghana National Association of Teachers, Ahinako Akwachi, said not until their arrears due them are paid, they will go ahead with their strike.
What we told them is that we will not have money at the end of May, February 29th. We will not agree. That is why the meeting has been adjourned. So we've made some progress, but it's still inconclusive. Government has accepted the fact that they owe us. We are not interested in the validation.
All parties at the negotiating, however, expressed the hope of reaching an agreement soon.
Yaya Kwamwa reporting.
Director of the Bureau of Ghana Languages, Peter Essien, says there is a need for all to make the national language policy work effectively. He said majority of the people do not have access to important information and therefore cannot contribute effectively and meaningfully towards national development. Mr. Essien noted that the neglect of local languages and culture is a bane to a country's development. Naomi Komi reports.
The International Mother Language Day is celebrated throughout the world on February 21. It was instituted by the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, in 1999 to promote linguistic and cultural diversity, multilingualism, and to highlight greater awareness of the importance of mother language education. In Ghana, the International Mother Language Day has not been given the needed attention it deserves, because of the poor attitude of Ghanaians towards their own mother languages. Speaking at a Durban to Climax the Day, the director of the Bureau of Ghana Languages, Peter Essien, stated that language is a vehicle that drives culture, and it is through it that the culture of a people is transmitted from one generation to the other. He said since Ghanaians are not promoting indigenous languages and culture, the country's rich cultures are being replaced with foreign ones.
Country can be developed through the culture of the people. We have to touch our children now and inculcate the culture in them. If we don't do that, they learn other cultures and grow to be irresponsible for them. So the languages and cultures are very important. So we have to use the languages to educate our children and first teach the children in their mother language for them to understand cultural communication so that when they grow, they can just transfer the concept in learning other languages. Research has shown that if children are taught in their mother language and they understand it very well, it is easier for them to learn other languages when they grow.
Mr. Essien said cultures and languages should be imparted onto children in order for them not to be swayed to learning Western cultures. The Minister of Tourism and Creative Arts, Mrs. Elizabeth Ofosuajari, stated that mother language is vital in one's life and cannot be overemphasized. She said it is a universally acknowledged principle in education that a child should receive instruction both in and through his mother language.
Naomi Komi filed that report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Today marks 50 years of overthrow of Ghana's first president, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. Government appeals to teacher unions not to embark on strike as negotiations enter day three today. Ministry of Finance takes steps to sanitize operations of microfinance and small loan companies. Supreme Court judge in Kenya suspended over $2 million bribery allegation, and investigations ongoing into 14 new reports of possible sexual transmission of Zika virus. You can get through to Radio Ghana Newsroom on WhatsApp number 0560-266-551. The number again, 0560-266-551. We'll be back after this break.
Welcome back. The finance minister, Sir Pepe, says the Bank of Ghana is taking stringent measures to sanitize the operations of savings and loans and microfinance institutions across the country. He mentioned strengthening of supervisory role through off-site surveillance for early detection of distress, effective on-site examination to ensure compliance with regulations are some of the measures. The central bank will also embark on public education against unlicensed microfinance companies and the introduction of the Ghana Deposit Protection Bill, among other things, as part of measures aimed at curtailing the negative practices associated with the banking system. The minister stated this when he presented a statement on the floor of parliament yesterday on the operations of savings and loan and microfinance companies in the country. According to Mr. Tate, the audit of the books of the companies, particularly DKM, has revealed weaknesses such as misreporting, Bank of Ghana's weak governance structures, among other things. Here's a report by our parliamentary correspondents Dominic Moji and Augustus Akwey.
According to the finance minister, Seth Tepe, government, through the Bank of Ghana, has initiated several actions to clean the mess created by the savings and loan and microfinance companies and prevent the recurrence of such illegal practices throughout the country. He told the MPs that the Bank of Ghana has revoked licenses of some companies and is in the process of liquidating assets of such companies and their subsidiaries to pay off depositors.
Bank of Ghana has taken the following measures to sensitize the microfinance sector. It has strengthened its supervisory role through off-site surveillance for any detection of distress and effective on-site examination to confirm compliance with regulatory requirements. The bank has deployed 5 staff to its regional offices at Sunyani, Kumasi, Safadi, and Tamale for ongoing surveillance of the microfinance institution subsector. The bank has intensified the campaign through its public education committee against the activities of unlicensed microfinance institutions and to accurately inform the public on financial literacy. Bank of Ghana has resourced the umbrella associations such as the Ghana Association of Microfinance Companies, replicating Section 4 of the Ghana Deposit Protection Bill 2016, which is now before this House, provides for the protection of small depositors from loss incurred by the depositor as a result of the occurrence of an insured event. The bill is at the final stages of consideration at the Finance Committee of Parliament. All issues outstanding relating to Bank of Ghana have been addressed, and we anticipate that the House will pass this bill in due course to provide further protection for depositors in the country.
Touching on the DKM, Mr. Tepe said the company was attracting deposits from the public at interest rates between 40% and 55% for 2 months, which were unrealistic and unsustainable. He said DKM has also violated the provisions in Act 673, which limits borrowing and credit exposures.
Currently, Bank of Ghana has issued operating licenses to 29 trading and loan companies and 558 tier 2 and 3 institutions. DKM has made several promises to pay its customers, but these have not materialized. The Bank of Ghana has initiated action to revoke DKM's license and the process of liquidating the assets for the company and its subsidiaries to pay off depositors have commenced. The following unlicensed deposit taking institutions through Bank of Ghana Intelligence Network were also identified to be engaged in illegal deposit mobilization and attracting customers with high and unsustainable interest rates. They include God is Love Fund Club, Jasper Motors and Investment Limited, Little Drop, Helping Hand Association, Perfect Edge Group, Care for Humanity International Fund Club.
That was the Minister of Finance, Tete, ending the report by parliamentary correspondents Dominic Logi and Augustus Akwey.
Meanwhile, there were varied reactions to the finance minister's statement on the floor of parliament. Most of the MPs who had a chance to contribute to the statement expressed concern about development in the non-banking financial sector. The MPs recollected the agony of depositors in their constituencies and pleaded with the Ministry of Finance and Bank of Ghana to ensure that people whose monies are locked up in the savings and loan companies such as DKM, God is Love Fan Club and Little Drops Helping Hand Association are refunded to them. The MP for New Durban South, Dr. Mark Esibiyebua, believes the Bank of Ghana and government should be blamed for the problems created by the savings and loan companies.
In the minister's statement, I didn't find anything new. Nobody has taken responsibility for the mess. No remedial measures have been given. For the avoidance of doubt, no test shall carry on the business of microfinance unless the Bank of Ghana licenses.
And more water for the...
the Bank of Ghana is to ensure that only credit-worthy companies operate in whatever space, be it the banking space, the savings and loan space, the microfinance space. This is to ensure that depositors will be protected from charlatans or fraudsters who operate microfinance business. Mr. Speaker, I want to submit now that the Bank of Ghana and by extension government is to blame for this mess.
The Bono Ahafo Regional Minister and MP for Esinafo South, Eric Opoku, wanted to know whether the liquidated assets of the companies will be able to offset the debts.
As the Regional Minister and the head of the Regional Security Council, I am privy to certain information that cannot be shared with the public. But Mr. Speaker, it is important to say that we are dealing with two categories of groups. We have DKM as a registered microfinance institution and several other institutions are fan clubs. They call them fan clubs. Sharp, sharp, fan clubs.
The member for Dorma Central, Kwaku Ajimanmenu, said the microfinance saga should be seen as a national disaster.
This should be seen as a national calamity, a disaster for all of us. And we as representatives of the people should be given the privilege to allow us to talk about what is happening to our own people. Because let me tell you one thing that I have experienced. People who are killed in front of my door in my constituency, pleading that MP won't tell me my end. That is supposed to be our responsibility. MP, wouldn't you say something about this problem on our behalf? MP, wouldn't you talk to us, not only me, but almost all my colleagues from Brahapur? The finance minister mentioned rightly. DKM had said branches, four of them in Brahapur. So whatever way he operated, greater part of his operation were concentrated in Brahapur. So we are more affected than any other people in the country.
Meanwhile, the member for Tamale Central, Haji Nusa Fuseni, said having learned from Piram and other schemes that sank people's money, it is unbelievable that the Bank of Ghana has not been able to halt these practices in the country.
Send Ghana, an NGO, wants government to make its intended review of the NHIS focus on making the scheme more beneficial to the poor. According to the foundation, consultations with rural communities after it launched its research on the state of free maternal care revealed that most people considered poor and who should benefit from the scheme do not enjoy it. The lead person on NHIS for Send Foundation, Mukaila Ademu, serves in Accra at the National Dialogue on Maternal Health and NHIS. Doreen Ampofo reports.
The National Health Insurance Scheme has been fraught with challenges ranging from inequalities in the provision of services, payments to service providers, to allegations of illegal fees charged by service providers and fraud. This prompted government to set up a 7-member committee to review its operations. According to Send Ghana, the committee, in coming out with this recommendation, must be clear on who qualifies to be poor to benefit from the scheme. It said the consultations, which were done in 4 regions, namely Upper East, Upper West, Northern and Greater Accra regions, also showed that most pregnant women in rural areas who are supposed to benefit from the free maternal health care and that the NHIS continue to be charged illegal fees. This is affecting Ghana's fight against maternal mortality, adding that the review must address these inefficiencies.
The NHIS has not been able to register most of the poor people who are supposed to be on the NHIS. You look at those who are on the NHIS, basically it's like we are subsidizing healthcare for the rich and not the poor, just because of the definition of who the poor is. And even now, with the biometric registration, it's even making it worse to even register the poor. The reason being simple, even if you identify the poor, which most of the time they are in the rural area, it's very difficult for them to come to the center and register biometrically. It's even making the poor poorer and the situation worse. We need to look at the definition of who is poor. In our next LI that will be developing, is there a way that the new revision, so that any NHIS can take up the issue of drugs? Can they have a medical source at the regional district level so that even if you go to the facility and the drug is not there, people can walk into their drug stores or depots and pick those medicines from them? That will reduce the illegal charges.
The CEO of Send West Africa, Siafa Kamara, also spoke about the lack of funds affecting the NHIS in the district.
Money to now go to districts on time. Money that go to districts are inadequate. Systems that should be working and are working. People at the district level, they complain a lot, but people at the national level.
Doreen Ambofu reports.
Government says it will continue to collaborate with religious institutions such as the Catholic Church for the benefit of the people. To this end, government will continue to deepen its relationship with the church since it considers their role as critical to national development. In a speech read for him by a member of the Council of State, Henry Martin Newman, at the opening of the Second General Assembly of Catholic Bishops in Africa, President Mahama said government will continue to depend on religious institutions for support since Christ charged the church to be each other's keeper. A report by Rabna Paha and Priscilla Oswansa.
The over 140 Catholic bishops from the West African sub-region will discuss issues affecting the development of their countries and their church. The five-day regional episcopal conference is focusing on family of God in West Africa, reconciliation, development, and family life. A member of the Council of State, Henry Martin Newman, who represented the president, spoke of the cordial relations that have existed between government and the church. President Mahama said he will ensure a much deeper collaboration aimed at national development.
In every party, see concrete results. We at the governmental level will continue to look up to the church and those who believe in being each other's keeper. At the end of the day, all things are premised on the concept of being each other's keeper. Christ concept, the Christ message is the main that is their concern. So to look up to the church for inspiration, for leadership. While we are sometimes devastated, you know, easy to see countries, to see tribes, to see clans, to see communities, and be family, sometimes take arms against their own people and kings. When this happens, miracle is clearly, he was being played, family life, faithful, disruptive.
The president of the Ghana Bishops' Conference, Most Reverend Osaibunzu, said the conference will liaise with the sub-regional body while sharing experiences on election and government-related issues.
Irabna Pai and Priscilla Uswansa filed that report.
On the foreign front, Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta has suspended Supreme Court Judge Justice Philip Tunoi for allegedly receiving a $2 million bribe in an election petition. The president has also appointed a 7-member tribunal to investigate Tunoi's conduct in an election petition lodged by a rival against Nairobi Governor Evans Kidero's March 2013 election victory.
A court in Cairo has ordered the release of the brother of Al-Qaeda leader Mohammed al-Zawahir after he spent more than 2 years in prison without trial over accusations he led a terrorist group. Mohammed al-Zawahir, the brother of Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahir, will be placed under house arrest.
And the U.S. Center for Disease Control says it is investigating 14 new reports of possible sexual transmission of the Zika virus. The cases include several involving pregnant women. The public health body made a revelation as it published new guidance on sexual transmission of the virus.
And now to end the news, the main points again. Today marks exactly 50 years since the Nkrumah-led CPP government was ousted in a coup d'etat in 1966. The February 24 coup, which was the first of its kind in post-colonial Ghana, was carried out while Nkrumah was on a state visit to Hanoi, Vietnam. As part of activities to mark the day, Third World Network will hold a forum dubbed Ghana's Day of Shame, 50 years on, pursuing a national development agenda at the Accra International Conference Center today at 4 p.m. Government has appealed to teacher unions not to embark on strike as negotiations over unpaid salaries enter day three today. And the U.S. Center for Disease Control says it is investigating 14 new reports of possible sexual transmission of the Zika virus. The CDC advises all men who have traveled to an area active with the Zika virus to use condoms or abstain from sex. The news was presented by Yvonne Atilego
and Baba Yakubu in Accra.